with us this morning, and Brother Gabe Stoniker will be speaking to us here in just a little while. But right now, will you turn with me in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to read the record of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. We'll begin with verse 19, but as we read down through there, I want you to notice two phrases that are the same. The disciples of John asked the Master, "Where dwellest thou?" And he said, "Come and see." And then Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see." And that's why we're here, to come and see. To see our Lord and Savior, "Where dwellest thou?" In eternity, with a humble and contrite heart. In the heavens, us dwelling in Him. Here He dwells on earth for some 33 years. Come and see. Come and see our Master. Beginning in verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.'" And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is whom coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me cometh a man who is preferred before me,' for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, 'Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost.' And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto them, "We have found the Messiah," which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Just come and see.
Good morning, everyone. It is so good to be here and see you. And I'm so grateful that Brother Donnie would ask me to come. It's so humbling when a man asks someone to come fill his pulpit. And I pray that the Lord will bless us, send His Spirit and bless us. I love Brother Donnie so much. He is such a encouragement to me, and thank the Lord for the gospel he's preached all these years, since I was a child, running around, a little child. And I just love you dearly. I'm thankful to be here. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to look at a few verses here. Let's begin with verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now the subject I'd like for us to consider this morning, the title of this message is this question. Did Christ die for everybody? That's the question. Did Christ die for all? When he died on that cross, everybody knows he died on a cross. Everybody knows he died on a cross. Everybody knows that. When he died on that cross, was he dying for everybody? Because that's what most people believe. That's what most people believe. The end of verse 14, if you look at the last part of that verse, it says, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And the beginning of verse 15 says, and that he died for all. Did Christ die for everybody? If one died for all, and that he died for all. Look with me at a few scriptures. We're going to turn a little bit this morning. I like to turn. And turn and turn. Go with me over to John 3. John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world through him might be saved. Did Christ die for everybody? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What is he saying right there? Did Christ die for everybody? Go with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2 verse 2 says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Did Christ die for everybody? Did Christ die for everybody? I believe this is important to look at. I believe this is extremely important to look at. This is something we need to get to the bottom of, because there are two trains of thought on this thing. One will say, well, I believe Christ died for everybody. And another will say, no, Christ didn't die for everybody. If he is our hope, if he is our hope, and if he died for everybody, and if anybody ends up in hell, then we don't have a very good hope, do we? If he's our hope, okay, what's my hope? I'm going to go stand before God. And here's my hope. I'm hoping in the blood, the death, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I plead before God. My hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ. If he's my hope, and He died for everybody, and God is still sending people to hell, we have a horrible hope. We have a terrible, terrible hope. How can we look to Him? How can we trust Him? This is His Word. And we're all here this morning trusting Him. How can we hope in Him and literally hang our souls on Him? Nothing else. Here's my soul. This is my body. My body means nothing. You can cut off every piece of me that you can cut off. I'm still me because I'm my soul. And to hang our eternal souls on Him. How can we do that if He died for everybody, but men and women are still going to hell? How can we do that? If He died to save everybody, but men and women are still being lost, then what difference did His death make? What difference did it make? Christ died on the cross. What difference does it make if men and women are still going? If He died for them, shed His blood for them. Now, is that what these verses are saying? All the verses we just read. Did Christ die for everybody? I want us to, by the Word, according to the Word, I want us to answer the question and explain the question and explain the verses. And I want us to prove the one and only answer, all with Scripture. All with Scripture. All right? Go with me back to our text. We'll give the answer. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul is writing this second letter to the Corinthians, but he is not writing it to all of the Corinthians. He's writing it to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. That's what it says in chapter 1, verse 1. That's who he's writing to. He's writing to a particular people. A particular people. In chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." And I want to put the emphasis on us. He's writing to a particular people. And he said, "The love of Christ constraineth us." That word constraineth means to hold together, to arrest, to keep. The love of Christ keeps us. Keeps us. Verse 14 says, "Because we thus judge." Us, we. "That if one died for all, then we're all of us." All of we. We're dead. Verse 15 says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Verse 16 says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ," if any man be in Christ, "he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Did Christ die for everybody? Here's the answer. No, he did not. No, he did not. He died for every soul that God the Father put in him. Every soul that God put in Christ. Only those who are in Christ will be redeemed from destruction and made to be a brand new creature. Only those in Christ. Through the death, through the burial, through the resurrection of him. Only those in him. All right. Well, then why did John 3:16 say God so loved the world? Why did we just read in 1 John 2 verse 2 that Christ was the propitiation, not for the sin of John and the other apostles only, but also for the sins of the whole world? Why did it say that? It's because God in his goodness, in his kindness, you know, we have a kind God. Grace is so kind. What did every soul deserve? Death. What did the law say? What's just good and right according to the law? Death. The wages of sin is death. But we have a kind and loving and gracious God. In his goodness, he chose to have mercy. He chose to have mercy. We would not have. Do you all have a prison here, anywhere around here? How many? Go over to the prison. How many would you just choose to show mercy to? We'd all say, "You deserve this." But he chose to show mercy And the way he chose to show mercy is amazing. It's amazing. He commanded the good news of the death of his own son to be preached to the Jew first and also to the Greek, also to the Gentile. If you were born in the tribe of Judah, you're a Jew. If you were born in any other nation on earth, you're a Gentile. I'm so thankful for these verses. A lot of times you start to believe in God's sovereignty. We come to see some things of God's election, God's particular redemption. And we don't have any idea what to do with John 3:16. We don't have any idea what to do with his propitiation went unto the whole world. What does he mean by that? That's the glory of his sovereignty. That's the glory of the gospel. None of us deserved his mercy. None of us wanted his mercy. All of us were at enmity against him. We received him not. Rejected him. But God in his sovereignty said, in spite of you, you will receive mercy. And that mercy went unto the whole world, not just the nation of Israel. He extended it unto the whole world. My simple mind would have said, well, his mercy is only going to the tribe of Judah and the country of Greece, the Jews and the Greeks, that's it. His mercy has gone to the whole world, the utmost parts of the earth. That's the glory of the gospel, the wonderful news of the gospel. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, verse 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of. Those are two very, very small words, but they are two important words. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God's mercy has redeemed men and women out of the whole world. Out of the whole world. The entire world. Our Lord did not die for everybody. The declaration of the gospel, the declaration of his death, goes out to all the world. Our Lord said, you go preach it to all the world. You go tell everybody. Preach it to all the world. But his actual death only effectually applies to the souls who are in him. In him. The souls that his Father chose to have mercy on by putting them in him. Alright, now let's prove that. By the word, we've given the answer. Did Christ die for everybody? No. We've explained the answer out of the whole world. Let's prove the answer by the word. This has to be proven by the word. It has to be. We cannot rest in any man's opinion on this. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. Every denomination has an opinion. The truth and believers of the truth, God's true believers are the only people on this earth who do not have an opinion on the word of God. That's what he said, and that's what it is. And so we have to see his word on it. That's the only way we can know it's so, is if we see his word on it. All right, go with me, if you would, to Matthew 1. Matthew 1, verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His people. Who did he come to save? Who did Christ die for? He died for his people. He died for his people. He is the successful Savior. Do you not find so much peace and rest in that? Aren't you so glad that we are not sitting under a message that is declaring he is the trying Savior? He has a great plan for you. He is really hoping it'll work out. Everything looks good right now, as long as the devil doesn't step in. Aren't you so glad? He is the successful Savior. He's not the begging Savior. Now, I really want to motivate you all this morning. You need to go ahead and accept him. He wants to save you so badly if you'll just let Him. You all just let Him save you, and then aren't you so glad? Aren't you so glad He does not beg anybody to do anything? He chose who He would. He died for who He would. He shed His blood on who He would. He redeemed who He would. He's called to Himself who He will. That brings me so much peace in preaching the gospel. I don't have to worry about that. All I have to do is tell what He said. Just say what He said. Just read it. Just read it. He will call every soul He purposed to call. They will come. He will break them. They will bow. He came to save a particular people. He gave His life for that particular people. He has lost not one of those particular people. That's something else I find comfort in. I can't mess it up. I can't drive them away. I cannot drive them away. I might drive them away from me, but I'll never drive them away from Him. Height, depth, nothing will be able to separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, His Son. Nothing. He shall save His people from their sin. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew 7. Verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What is the Father's will? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. Bow the knee to Christ. And He will raise that soul up in the last day. That's the Father's will. Verse 22 says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." If He died for everybody, does that verse mean that He would die for them? I mean die for them, but not acknowledge that He knew them? They're going to come and He's going to say, "I never knew you." But Lord, we're preachers. We're preachers. Never knew you. We actually did cast demons out of people. Never knew you. We did had started all these programs. We did all this missionary work, all these wonderful things. Never knew you. Do you mean He would literally give His own life for them, but not let them come into His kingdom? He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That's good news. That's good news. Turn back a few pages, or turn again over to John 3. John chapter 3. John 3 verse 3. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." What he's saying is, it's of God. It's of God. Man has no influence and no control over it at all. In the same way that man has no influence over the wind, man has no influence over the Spirit of God. It's all of God. In the same way that man had no part in his physical birth, none of us were asked, "Would you like to be born? Would you like to enter the world?" None of us. In the same way, none of us took part in spiritual birth. None of us were asked, "Would you like to be born again? Enter into the spiritual kingdom of God?" It's of God. Paul told the Corinthians, "Of God are you in Christ Jesus." It's of God. John 1:13 says it's not in a family bloodline. It's not in the will of the flesh. It's not in the will of man. It's of God. It's of God. Salvation is not an offer. I would not like to offer salvation to anyone this morning. It's not an offer. Salvation is the will and the purpose and the work of God. God's choice. In His time, it's God's call. It's of God. Look with me at John 10. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In verse 24 it says, Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Did Christ die for everybody? Absolutely not. He died for His sheep. He died for His sheep. Not one drop of His precious blood was wasted trying to make a general payment for the sin of the whole world. Not one drop. Go with me to John 17. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. In verse 9, he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Does it ever strike awe in you that the Lord prays for you? Does it ever strike, you know, I can't pray for myself. Does your prayer ever frustrate you? Don't you love how Romans 8, verse 26 talks about in spite of us not knowing what things we should pray for as we ought, the Spirit itself gives groanings to God which cannot be uttered. Don't you love that? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I pray for them. I pray for each one of them. That is just, that's too much. That's just too wonderful for me. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Imagine the righteous man. Just imagine. Does he ever ask for anything that his Father does not hear and answer? This is his prayer. This is his prayer. Somebody will say, I can't help it. I just still believe Christ died for everybody. Isn't that so sad? Isn't that so sad? I still believe Christ died for everybody. Christ did not empty his body. Water and blood emptied himself of all but love. You know what the song says? He did not empty his body, take the life that was in his blood. The life is in the blood. Eternal life is in the blood. He did not make an atonement for a man's soul, an absolute atonement to God, appease God, satisfy God, make intercession to his Father to rid that man for all eternity of his sin. All eternity. And then not pray for him. He would not do it. He said, I pray for him. I pray for him. He said, Peter, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. Verse 11 right here, he said, now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his precious life for the people who were precious to him. They were precious to him because of who gave them to him. They were a present from his Father. You have anything that's sentimental to you? My grandfather gave my dad something, and my dad gave it to me, and it's not worth much money, but it means a lot to me. His Father gave him a gift, and he loves them. They are so precious to him. So precious, he gave all for them. All. He gave it all. Go with me back to our text in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that's where he found us, dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. That word know means regard, respect. We don't regard or respect any man after the flesh. Though we regard and respect what Christ accomplished for us after his flesh, it's our all, even though we no longer have him here with us on the earth. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, because of what Christ accomplished in his flesh, because of his death, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I want to leave us with this right here. Our Lord did not die for everybody. He only died for his sheep. So I want to close out with this. I want to leave us with this. Am I one of his sheep? And are you one of his sheep? We've established he only died for his sheep. I'm not ready to go just yet. My question is, am I one of his sheep? Are you one of his sheep? Did Christ die for us? Did Christ die for us? Go with me to Luke 19. Luke 19, and look with me at verse 9. And Jesus saith unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, a son of the covenant. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did Christ die for me? Did Christ die for you? Here's the question. Are you lost? That's the question. Are you lost? Has God done a work of grace in our hearts, causing us to say, I'm lost. Without Christ, I'm lost. I mean, I'm lost. If I don't have Christ, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. If He does not come find me, I'm going to die right here in my sin. I can't find my way to Him. He's going to have to come find me. I can't do anything. If the answer is, oh, no, I'm not lost. No. Go ask somebody that. Go ask somebody around town. Are you lost? No. I know a lot of people who are, but not me. If that's the answer, there's our answer. If we're not lost, then there's our answer. Am I one of his sheep? No. But if God in his kindness has caused us to truly cry, Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you ever cry that in your heart? Do you ever just go, oh, do you ever do that? I am the chief of sinners. I really am the chief of sinners. Lord, you're my only hope. You're my only hope. You're my only hope. If that's our heart's cry, then there's our answer. If that's the cry, that's the answer. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, Lord, I come just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, Lamb of God, I come. I know what I am, but in obedience to your word, I come. I come. Every soul who comes begging and pleading for mercy, every single soul, he said, him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise cast out. Has Christ died for me? Here's the answer. If I need him to die for me, then he has. Then he has. If I need him to, he has. And we need him to, don't we? We need him to. I pray the Lord will bless his word. Bless his word to our hearts. Thank you.